Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is it. The time has come.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
Down.
Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Adam Catterall.
You're better than that!
On TalkSport.
Welcome to the Fight Night podcast from TalkSport. I'm Adam Catterall, pleasure to be with you. However, if this is the first time that you've ever come to the Fight Night podcast, please don't let it be the last. Subscribe to us. You can do it via iTunes and you can do it via the TalkSport website. Every single week, live on the radio, we have a plethora of top quality fight sports related guests. I appreciate that you might not be able to come and join us live, but if that is the case, you can always get everything that happens in that show in this podcast. And let's get underway then, shall we? Because on Saturday night, we had the guests coming in thick and fast. We'll start with Hall of Fame promoter Frank Warren. He's been on TalkSport a couple of times this week with Tyson Fury. That's right. And Tyson Fury has been everywhere talking about whether he's retired, whether he's not retired, whether he's giving up his WBC belt. Well, we started the conversation with Frank as to what he has made of the week with the Gypsy King.
At the moment, he's in a good place. He's enjoying himself. We met last... Friday before. And as you say, we did the interview on Monday on Queensbury YouTube channel. And, you know, he said what he wanted to do. You know, he said that he was interested in fighting, but he's retired, but he's interested in fighting. So we'll just see what happens. And over the next, you know, we're going to, I'm quite sure something will happen fairly soon. I'm quite confident of that.
I was just going to say, you know, we were laughing about half a billy. We heard from Tyson in the first section of the show, Frank, and you know, I think maybe cleverly from our perspective and media guys that he's saying, you know, it's going to take half a billion to get me back 500 million. But the truth is, for a man like Tyson, and you know yourself, and as you've said, you and Bob Arum have both said you're not going to put any pressure at all on Tyson to come back if he really doesn't want to. And at the moment, he doesn't want to. But if Anthony Joshua does beat Alexander Usyk, he's going to have that warrior challenge in him again, and it's going to be a massive event. He said to me, by the way, that he was delighted for you that the Wembley Stadium event on April the 23rd was such a massive event and so successful that you'd sold it without a dance partner, to quote him, because he's a man for the big occasion, and it's difficult not to see him coming back if that Joshua fight's there.
Well, you know, you're saying Joshua. I mean, Joshua's, you know, and you did say if he wins. But if he does decide that he wants to fight on, Usyk is a massive fight.
Yeah.
I think Usyk is not quite as big as Joshua, but if Usyk does a job on Joshua, it's not like the British public don't know who he is. I mean, they see him beating Joshua. They all know what he is. He's got great pedigree. He's like Tyson. He's undefeated. So, you know, that would be a big fight if Tyson felt that he wanted to carry on.
But he's so young. That's the point. I mean, I know he's staying busy with his speaking tours. I mean, I've been lucky enough to be with him on a couple of occasions on those, and they are fantastic evenings where my barometer says that 50% of the people there want to hear his mental health story. And it does keep him busy. And he, as he told me in the interview, Frank, he's got a third book in the offing at the moment, the chance of a record deal. He was with Ed Sheeran the other day talking about being on tour. He said he might sing with Adele. He is very busy, isn't he? Outside boxing as well.
Well, he is. He's got, you know, he does have that life. And as you say, he's got another book coming out. That's coming out fairly soon. But, you know, for me, if he's going to retire, then he should stay retired.
Mm.
I'd prefer him not to come back like some guys do, you know, after 2, 3, 4, 5 years out of the ring. He's peaked now. He may not even be at his peak. The peak may still be there to come. But in 5 years' time, that won't be the case, or 4 years' time. So if he's still got it in him that he wants to fight, now's the time to do it. If not, then call it a day and go and enjoy what he's doing, all these other things, and enjoy his family.
Yeah. Frank, before we move on from Tyson, I'm sure you've seen this over the last 24 hours with the Irish press reporting that he's been denied access to America. First and foremost, have you seen that story, and is there any truth to it?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's what I read is that he went, correct me if I'm wrong, he went to an airport and was refused to get on. I mean, far as I understand, he didn't go to any airport yesterday, and he was in Liverpool for his cousin fight. That's it. I haven't spoken to him today, so that's news to me.
Okay. You've announced a fight this week for Joe Joyce against Christian Hammer, July 2nd. We're excited to be covering that here on TalkSport. First and foremost, what happened with the fight with Josie Parker? Obviously, we were working towards that, but that's not materialised. Next up, what's happened?
Well, you need him. You need to ask him that question. You got him on later.
Yes.
We, as you know, at Tyson's last fight, him and Joe got together.
Yeah.
And we announced it that it was to be done, and and we agreed terms. I shook hands with Joe in front of Tyson, and then we got the solicitors to work out and get the contracts, which took a long while, but eventually they got them done. And then I heard the day before it was announced that he'd signed a deal with Sky. I heard about that, and I just sent him a text, which I'm reading now, on the 9th of June at 12:56, and I said to him, just been told the fight is off, so much for your handshake. And then he was in New Zealand, and then I got a text back at 21:33 saying, morning, Frank. Because obviously it's morning in New Zealand. Apologies, it took a while to get the deal done, but was offered a better deal last minute.
Oh, okay.
But now he's fighting Lucas Brown, and we're very underwhelmed
by
that. Who
cares?
Exactly. That's the problem. That's the problem.
Why wouldn't you fight a guy who's ranked number one to get that position? Lucas Brown and him. I mean, what possible interest that is to British boxing fans?
None. And let me
just finish. Yeah. And, you know, even if he was offered a better deal, having agreed terms, you know, somebody said to me, right, you know, we've agreed, you know, I'm paying you 100 quid. And I'd say, look, somebody's offered me 110 quid. Do you want to better it? At least do that? Nothing at all. He never wanted that fight. He never fancied it. And that's the bottom line. But you know what? Joe Joyce is the guy who's the manager in rank number one, not Parker. So we had, and remember, when we made this fight, and they sodded us around for a while, it was originally going to take place next week. But if you recall what he said, or what they said about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, that they didn't, that he couldn't fight because Andy Lee, his trainer's wife, was having a baby.
Yeah. Mm.
Which is the first time I've heard of a fight being postponed because the trainer's wife's having a baby. Understand if it's the fighter's wife. So it was never there. It was never going to happen. Mm. And it was just a lot of nonsense. And I'm very disappointed in Joe because, you know, he got well looked after. He was the standby opponent, by the way, for Tyson when everybody was concerned whether
Dillian was going to turn up.
Dillian was going to pull out, and he got paid. He got paid a large amount of money. So he's not behaved honourably at all. Not honourably at all. You know, handshake means nothing. Word means nothing. And you know, they just messed us all around. And it's a shame for Joe, because Joe was coming back from that broken wrist, but he'll fight anyway. We managed to get a fight on with him because I've got to keep him busy. And he did have that bad injury. You know, breaking your wrist is not good for a boxer. But he's got Hammer in there. He's a tough guy who just went the distance with the WBO number three, Frank Sanchez, who's a good fighter.
He's very good. Very talented. Listen, not a big heavyweight, but he's very talented.
I was going to say, to turn it around on the short notice that you've turned it around, I think that's a solid opponent for Joe on July 2nd. And as I said, looking forward to that. Whilst we're talking Parkers, can I talk Zach Parker? Because I do feel for this boy, absolutely. We're looking forward to his fight with Dimitri Andrade. Obviously, that fell off. And then in the aftermath of it, I hear that the WBO allowed the Caleb Plant to be the mandatory challenger for Canelo's belt, which then knocks back mandatory call-ins for another, 12 to 18 months. So Zach Parker's kind of out in a little bit of limbo. So what's the situation there, Frank?
I'm hearing that, you know, Andrade, we can't, you know, the Andrade's gonna may not even come up a weight now, may stay at the stay down where he's at. I don't know. And we're trying to get, he's not come back to us or anything, so there's been no talk about rescheduling it. So I don't know what's gonna happen there. And Zach, we're looking, and I'm hoping we're gonna have something over the line for him. Whilst we've been waiting for this, I mean, obviously we've got a contract with Andrade and we've been waiting to see what's going on, but looks like that's all going to fall away. So Zach will fight sometime in September, and we're looking at a couple of fights for him, and we'll see where we go. I mean, there's been a couple of things we've been looking at, which I think are quite interesting. So if that Andrade fight is dead in the water, then we will announce something fairly soon for him.
Gutted for him, gutted.
He's a good fight. I mean, we sold a lot of tickets.
A lot of people were excited. Yeah,
we were very excited by that fight. Very. Yeah. Frank, can I ask you about Daniel Dubois last weekend as well? He did what he needed to do. Trevor Bryan wasn't at his level, if I'm honest. But Daniel was very composed.
He dealt with the madness of Don King as well.
Well, he also dealt with the madness of water coming down beside the ring, the lift not working in the hotel. Declan Taylor has been very good in Boxing News this week, about the whole week. A very odd promotion in lots of ways, but your guy got the job done, and he sits in the waiting room now, doesn't he? And you know, I say that with respect. What I mean is he's sitting in the waiting room ready for those big title fights now.
Well, look, you know, we had to get him there. We worked very hard. We got Joe in at number one at WBO. We've been working strategically with our heavyweights, with Joe and with Daniel, and obviously Tyson's there at the top of the tree because they're the next guys who'll be coming through as mandatory challengers for these titles. And the WBA in Bryan, he was their WBA champion. They have a super champion, and a super champion is a guy who unifies a champion under their championship, under their rules. So that is the position. For us, it is very important that Daniel was to fight for that title, and we got him into the position to do it. He won it. As a fighter, always felt he could win. I don't know what happened with, you know, Don King. We offered to put that fight on with him after he won the purse bids. He bid $3.5 million for it. We offered to, you know, to put it on over here and go half with him, split it in half and take the risk. I think over here we'd have done maybe 15,000 tickets for that, you know, building a show around it. But it wasn't the beer, and he put it on, and it was like a surreal situation in this high-low casino in Miami, and it was what it was. I mean, look, the rain and the water coming through, they had terrible storms
and hurricanes. You know, but it was still peculiar things him get through, like the lift not working and them getting stuck in.
I mean, the lift don't work. I mean, they're not fighting in a lift, are they? They're fighting in a ring. What's the risk?
Maybe they'd have had a better fight in a lift, by the way.
They are fit guys. They can walk up and down stairs. But the fact of the matter is, that's the least of anyone's problems, and I hear all that stuff. And you know, boxing. I know Declan, and I respect Declan. Works for Boxing News. I noticed they put a rider on it. Don't be fooled. This is not for a world title. I mean, maybe in their eyes it isn't, but you know, it is what it is what it is. And Don King paid for that money for a world title.
Yeah.
You don't get paid that type of money for if it's not for something. And more importantly, which they don't get and they don't understand, because, in some ways they don't, they have this fixed view of what boxing's about, which is not in the real world. This was about him getting that position. This is about strategically where he should be in this business, and where he is now, he's in a good place. Yeah. But they wouldn't understand that because they don't understand the ins and outs and how boxing works.
Two more from me just quickly. Obviously, one of your charges, Anthony Yard, is in New York this evening. He's keeping his eye on that light heavyweight unification tonight. We're led to believe that it's easier if Beterbiev wins to make the fight with Anthony Yard back here in the UK October time. Is it as easy to make it if Joe Smith Jr. comes through tonight and Anthony Yard gets his shot at all three of those world titles come October?
There's various scenarios. I mean, first of all, is whoever wins got to defend their WBO portion of that title against him because he's the mandatory challenger. He's ranked number one. He beat the number one in Lyndon Arthur when they fought. So under the WBO rules and championships, that he is the number one. So the winner has to defend against him. I've been talking obviously to Bob about it. Bob Arum for Top Rank and Berbatov, as you quite rightly said, has already agreed if he wins the fight here in October. And if it's the other way around, Joe Smith will have to defend, or if we can't agree terms, we'll go to purse business. And if we can't, whatever happens, the winner will have to defend against Anthony, which is great for Anthony. And we will do our best to put it on the UK because that's where we want to get it. We want to get our man home advantage, and as we always try to do for our fighters. So whatever happens, he's in a good place, Anthony. That's why he's out there, and they've all taken to him. He's done some good interviews there, and obviously they know who he is now.
Listen,
and he's an exciting fighter.
He is.
And he proved that he's ever learning as well in the Lyndon Arthur fight too. Either one of those is a fantastic fight for unification in that division. Finally, we saw this week that Virgil Ortiz and Michael Mickinson are going to be fighting, but the WBC called Ortiz versus Avanesyan. I never saw that it went to purse bids or anything like that. So what's the situation with that, with obviously you're working with David?
Well, what's happened with David is that we were looking at it. There was an offer made, and we made a decision, his team made a decision that we should maybe go to purse bids. I spoke to the WBC. I said, look, let Ortiz have another fight, and in the meantime, David will look at his position, and we'll make a decision as to what will happen with him for the autumn. And that's where we're at the moment. So that's what will go forward. But David Avanesyan will maintain his position in the rankings, and he will get his shot at the title.
Okay, there you go.
Great stuff.
Thank you so much for going through all that for us on the Saturday evening. We'll let you get back to your night, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks for Joe Joyce, Sir Christian Hammer. Looking forward to that in London.
I'm looking forward to it too.
Now, as you heard in there, Frank Warren went in on Joseph Parker. He thought that he was getting a fight made with Joe Joyce. Well, we decided to get Joseph Parker on the show so he could have his right to respond. We first of all, though, started the conversation by talking about his new promotional deal with Boxer.
Parker wants Chisora out of the lovely run to him. That's right, out of the cut. And this time, Derek Chisora is held up only by the rope.
Oh, we're going to see
another left uppercut. But Chisora fires back wildly. What a finish to the round once again.
Beautiful right uppercut, he's hurt.
After a 1-2 combination, he then follows up with a right uppercut. And so Chisora takes the count for the second time in the fight.
The WBO Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, Lupe Soliai Lauli Ale Maleatoa, Joseph Parker.
Obviously, they have a bigger platform. We have a relationship with working with them in the past, and they've been very good to work with. And they gave us an offer which we thought was a lot better than what we're getting from the other side. So, listen, I'm very excited to be signing with Boxer and you know, Sky. And I'd like to thank Adam and, you know, David Higgins and, you know, Ben for making it happen.
When have you discussed dates? When are we going to see you out?
Yeah, we're looking at the end of September, early October. We still want to get the fight with Joyce. Listen, I know they said because I signed on a different platform, we can't make it happen. But listen, just when egos come into play, Frank Warren, doesn't have an ego, I'm sure he can let, you know, Joe Joyce come into the Sky platform and fight me. There's one, number one and number two fight each other. So why not? Why not make it happen?
See, listen, I like that chat. Now, earlier on, we had Frank Warren on this show, sir. I want you to listen to this because we put that question towards him. Obviously, we were anticipating yourself and Joe Joyce to fight next. I asked him the question, and this was his response to that.
As you know, at Tyson's last fight, him and Joe got together, and you know, we announced it that it was to be done, and you know, Joe, and we agreed terms. I shook hands with Joe in front of Tyson, and then we got the solicitors to work out and get the contracts, which took a long while, but eventually they got them done. And then I heard the day before it was announced that he'd signed a deal with Sky, I heard about that, and I just sent him a text, which I'm reading now, on the 9th of June, 12:56, and I said to him, just been told the fight is off, so much for your handshake. And then he was in New Zealand, and then I got a text back at 21:33 saying, morning, Frank, because obviously it's morning in New Zealand. Apologies, it took a while to get the deal done, but was offered a better deal last minute.
What do you make of that, Joel?
Yeah, I was offered a better deal. But listen, because Frank can say whatever he wants to say. He kept changing the deal. The contract kept changing, and that's why it took so long to lock in. We were so close to locking in, but every time he came back, it was different. There was something always different in it. And then, you know, I said to him that I could make the fight happen. He shook my hand at one deal, and all of a sudden went back and changed the deal. So, listen, we can go back and forth and say this and say that, but why don't we just make the fight happen? Just because he's on BBC Sports and I'm on Sky doesn't mean we can't make it happen. It's all egos, I think.
I agree with that. It is one of the things that bugs me the most about people that are affiliated with certain promoters or certain channels. I think there should be a lot more cross-pollination, let's just say. It would lead to a healthier sport.
I think it'll be a great fight. I think it's the fight that we need to make. We've already announced it anyways. You know, it's number one and number two fighting for the mandatory, so why not make it happen? Our team, I think, Tom and Adam are in talks with Frank at the moment to try and make it happen. So hopefully we can lock something in soon.
So do you have an opponent in the interim then, in September?
No one. I just want to fight either Joe Joyce and see if Dillian White's available or anyone in the top five. I don't want, you know, I want to be progressing and getting better as a fighter instead of taking light fights or easy fights.
It's a difficult time, Joe, in a way, for a lot of boxers. We were talking about Daniel Dubois earlier, who's in the waiting room for the WBA now. You know, obviously, Anthony Joshua and Alexander Usyk has got to play out. What's your kind of ambition, presumably, is to get one of the world titles back, if not all of them?
Yeah, listen, that's the goal for further down the track. But all I want to be doing now is being involved in the biggest fights I can be involved in and giving it everything I have and winning well. And that's the only way to get closer to fighting for a title. So what I'm focused on now is what's going to be in front of me, and hopefully I can lock in a big fight soon.
Well, there's Deontay Wilder out there. There's Andy Ruiz. I say there's Joe Joyce. There's Dillian White. As you say, there's Luis Ortiz. There's Otto Valin. Obviously, Michael Hunter and Huey Fury. You've already fought Huey, of course. You defended your WBO title against him. You know, it's you're going to be around for a long time, aren't you? You're not going to go anywhere soon. You're not going away anywhere soon, is what I mean.
Not going anywhere soon, but Gareth, I know you've mentioned all those names. Oh, listen, I'm keen to fight any of those guys. I don't care who it is.
Are you going to be based back here? I know that you're obviously in New Zealand at the moment, Joe. We've loved, obviously, you fighting here in the UK. Are you planning on coming back, obviously, working with Andy Lee and working over this side of the pond?
Yeah, I'm looking at basing myself up in the UK for the next, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. Depending on how long I box for, and just start giving it everything I have. I know the UK is the place to be because it's very hot there at the moment with boxing, and there's a lot of fights that can be made up there. And I've been our team have been well received, and we appreciate all the love and support. So, and Tyson looked after, you know, myself and camp and Andy Lee. So it's the place to be right now.
Do you find that you get more recognition now in the UK than you do at home in New Zealand?
I at the moment I do, just there's a lot of support, in the UK, and it's quite crazy supporting someone else from a different country. But they just seem to, you know, be very very open to us being there.
I believe that congratulations as well. He's also in
more order. Children.
Well, you know what I mean.
More children, Joseph.
He's been hanging around with Tyson, right? He's at it. He's at it. So therefore, obviously, Joe's got to keep up. They're building soccer teams, aren't they? They're building rugby teams. That's what they're doing, Mr. Parker and Mr. Fury. Congratulations, anyway, Joe, to you and your family.
Thank you, Adam. Yeah, I got four girls, four beautiful girls now. Well, it's great for me to be home and spend time with my kids. But once I leave to come back to the UK, I'll be gone from them for a while and be there to put in the work and focus on training. And just, you know, there's nothing to train for here because there's no fight locked in yet. But if we can lock it in soon, fingers crossed, Joe Joyce, then I'd love to get on.
It's funny, you know, because earlier on in the show, Joseph, we were talking about, you know, the age of Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua in a couple of years' time may not be around anymore. Joe Joyce himself, I think, is 35. And we forget you're only 30. So you've probably got five good years left in you. And that, for me, at the stage you're at in your career, potentially that's another 10 fights in the division.
Yeah, I think there's another four or five solid years to give it back. And now that I'm with Andy Lee and sort of just training around with Tyson, and I feel like I have a lot more to give. But I am 30, one of the youngest, but I feel like I've been in the game for ages.
Well, you know, you're a champion, you're a champion.
Exactly. And obviously, you know, I loved coming to see you in Vegas with Kevin Barry, who you were with for almost your entire career. What are the different things that Andy Lee, who we all love and respect, he's a brilliant commentator, a brilliant analyst on the sport. What are the things that he's brought to you in detail that you can give us that's enabled you to change your mindset, your physicality, your technical skills?
Yeah, it's all of that. It's like, you know, changing the program, the training program that I had. Instead of smashing my body too much, it's actually just doing the right training at the right time and the right effort. And then also just to change in style. You know, I used to lean a lot in front of, and sort of go over my front foot and, you know, lunging with punches and that. But he's able to get me a lot more balanced in my style. So I think with Andy, I think the more work I do with him, the better I'm going to get. And that's what excites me. Mm.
Just on your good friend Tyson Fury, he's not retired, is he? Come on, you two must have a little WhatsApp group going, mate. And you're thinking he's got everybody in the world going. He's not retired. He's definitely going to do the big undisputed fight if it's presented to him.
I've said that to him the other day. I said, "Come on, Tyson, you're not retired, mate." No, Joe, I am. I seriously am. I said, "Come on, you're not." I said, "Okay, then we'll see." Then he hasn't said anything to us.
Did you
Gareth will know. Gareth, you're one of Tyson's close friends. You should know.
Well, I spoke to him on Thursday. We've had him on the show tonight, and he's calling it
half a billy.
He calls
some
it
some big money, that
half a billion pounds to get him back, or dollars to get him back. I mean, surely, if Anthony Joshua beats Alexander Usyk, and I'd like to get your take on that fight tonight, Tyson Fury can't but come back against him. It's, you know, you've been over here. You know what the stakes are. It's a massive British fight. How do you see Anthony Joshua against Alexander Usyk in the rematch?
Oh, it just depends what kind of AJ turns up. I mean, he's got a new team. He's got a new, new coaches and all that. So it just depends on what he does in training camp and what he, you know, Alexander's a very tricky fighter, like we all know. And if he can come out there and use the size in his reach to his advantage and put it on him, I think he can, you know, get the job done.
Gareth, you've just caught Gareth's eye on the screen, right? What are you pointing at now?
I'm pointing at his beard. He's got the long biker beard going on. He's got the warrior beard coming.
It's good, man. Looking sharp.
Listen, no, while I'm in New Zealand, I thought I'd grow the beard out, but when I get back to the UK, I'm going to be all clean and, you know, nice and sharp.
Back to Peaky Blinders. tell us about, in lockdown, you delighted us and entertained us with all your videos.
Well,
have
we
got any more plans?
Well, he's back home now, and that's where his team are. So
no, exactly.
I was going to say, is the creative juices flowing?
Why don't we plan something, us three? Why don't we plan something for everyone?
Mate, let's get that
I think a big rock. Can you see us? Can you see us tonight, Joseph, or not?
I don't think he can see. If he could see you, he would definitely have made comments on what you're wearing, mate.
Yeah, you look nice and nice, no sleeves. Yeah, very good.
I've got the guns out, that's all. It's been really hot here all week, and I've even though it rained today, I just thought, no, I'm not getting changed. I'm coming in with the guns out.
It's very. I don't know if you can see him. Well, you obviously can. It's very Cobra Kai. That's the vibe he's giving off. Maybe we could do something there, mate. A little bit Karate Kid, something like that, Joseph.
You got to ask people what they want to see, and then give us some ideas. We'll do one soon.
There you go. Get on social media. Suggest the next creative masterpiece from Joseph Parker, and we will play a bit part role in there. You could do a bit of Cobra Kai there.
I don't know about that, but I'd definitely do some hot rock and roll with you, Joseph. There's no question about that.
Listen, mate, enjoy your time with the family whilst you're down there. Looking forward to more creativity, but more importantly, looking forward to seeing you back in the UK fighting sometime soon. And obviously with this new deal, a lot more fans will get the opportunity to see you on the platform that is Sky Sports. Thanks for your time, Joseph. Go well, mate.
Cheers. Good night, brother.
Lost him. He's gone. Top man. There you go.
New Zealand time.
Joseph Parker there joining us. It's interesting because I want the Joe Joyce fight. And he's right in what he's saying. Broadcast deals, promotional deals, they should not hold back from being able to make the best fights. That is a fantastic fight. Number one and number two with the WBO.
Look, he's only lost to two really good fighters in the heavyweight division. And you know, the biggest one, obviously, is Anthony Joshua. He lost his WBO title that night. The referee, Quartezone, got completely in the way of those two guys fighting. He ruined the fight. He wasn't the third man in the ring. He was the main man in the ring.
Yeah, agreed.
Anthony Joshua is another fight that Joseph Parker could have again. They only engaged about four times. It was a really weird, cagey fight. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
Joseph has a lot to offer. I think under Andy Lee, he may find another gear. And I think that's the key with him. Can Andy Lee get another gear out of Joseph Parker? He's very comfortable in the square circle, in the office. But I just want to see more from him. I just want to see more attacking intent. He's not the biggest heavyweight in the world. A lot of people underrate Joseph Parker, in my view. He's never going to fight Tyson Fury. A fight with Alexander Usyk is fascinating. Joe Joyce is fascinating. Again, we keep mentioning all these heavyweights. Let's see them all fight each other.
There you go. Watch this space. Fingers crossed they can put their promotional and broadcasting differences to one side and get that fight on, because it's something that we all want to see. Now, one fight that Frank did make last week that was an absolute firecracker was the British title fight in the super bantamweight division between Mark Leach and Liam Davies. Liam Davies came out and he is the new British champion. He joined us on the show to tell us what it means to him.
Super Bantamweight Champion, Liam Dangerous Davies!
It's a goal that I set out many years ago and talked about over the years. Coming through all my career, that was the main goal. And thank God it's paid off. I got here. Nothing was going to stop me that night. I said in the interviews, there's going to need more than one man in that ring to stop me. And I was just so focused, I trained so hard, and everything come into place. And what better way to do it off such a good champion in Mark Leach? I done it the proper way. I ain't won a vacant belt. And it's very satisfying. But now I've done it, I just want more.
The lovely thing about it is, Liam, is the family story here as well, which will resonate with a lot of people listening. You know that your late grandfather, Brian Davies, who got you into the sport as a young kid, and you lost him, I think, just over a decade ago. And the fact you'd visited his grave before the fight, and you're going to take the Lonsdale belt to his grave, and just talk to us a little bit about that, what that means in terms of creating a family legacy, and maybe, you know, maybe it's a kind of deeply spiritual thing as well as a physical thing.
Yeah, it's something that I've wanted to do for a very long time. I won the English title and took it there, and when the fight got announced, I actually went to see my granddad. And you know, like you say, spiritual, you go there and you have a word with yourself and look for advice, what they'd say to you. And I promised myself and him when I was there that I wouldn't come back until the 12th of June and it would be with a belt.
Did he tell you to keep your punches long, straight and your feet under you?
Yeah, that's it. He's a man of few words, but I think being honest with myself, he'd be very happy. And as a young lad, he used to tell a lot of people I'd win a British title and it's a dream into reality now.
Well, what's it with? Obviously, this is going to resonate with a lot of people that are listening to us. As Gareth said, your grandfather sadly passed just over a decade ago now, and you've held that promise for 10 years. Mm. What's that been like for you to hold that promise for a period of time, and then obviously to get the relief of being able to go back to his memorial site this week with that belt and have your own private moment with him?
Yeah, it was. Very satisfying, because many years ago I always told myself that I could do it, but could and will are two different things. So I've been through the hard bit and the heartache along the way, and probably have spent many a times wondering if it would ever happen. And like I said, I've made it happen, which is, I think I'll look back in many years to come and be more happy about it as the achievement, because yeah. I still believe at the minute I got a long way to go, and you got to push for more, aren't you? Because yeah. That's what life's about.
Well, that is, mate, it is. That is what it's all about. We're going to talk about what's next in a minute, but obviously we're speaking about your grandfather here, but your dad's obviously a major part of this as well. He's in there, in there with you. He's just on the outside of it slightly, but giving you the instruction. That must be an incredibly satisfying part of this as well, to go on this journey with your dad too.
Yeah, because people don't understand, and if I open up a bit about it, it was tough after we lost my granddad. My granddad was always in my corner, and I spent a lot of time with him. So I spent many a years after struggling to keep going with the boxing. And if it wasn't for my dad and the love and support he showed me, maybe I wouldn't be sat here today with the British title belt sat in front of me. So yeah, I've got to thank my dad. And like I say, I love him. He's played a massive part, and I'm glad he's on the journey with me just outside the ring, but we're on this ride together.
It's amazing. And your father, Tristan, when you had both of them with you, did Tristan, your dad, take over from Brian in lots of ways and pick up the torch, if you like? And because you have struggled to stay with it, as you said, that there was a time when you lost your grandfather. I mean, obviously you were a teenager then. I think you're 26 now, aren't you? You'd have been a teenager. That maybe you'd, like you say, it's weird, isn't it, when you lose those guiding lights in your life, someone that's inspiring you, that someone's, because their voice is there, they resonate with you. And, you know, you almost gave up the sport, I think, at one point. So maybe Dad did draw you back into it.
Yeah, a lot changed after my granddad passed away, and there were big shoes to fill. Like, my dad had big shoes to fill in the amateur gym that he was running and keeping me on track. And my younger brother's boxed too, and it was probably a hard time for my dad because he had it all on him. He had to step up and take over the gym, and he had to put up with me instead of my granddad putting up with me. So it was tough. And it's paid off. So it's been a long, hard journey. We've had one foot in, one foot out sometimes, but we've kept it together. We've kept strong. And the main thing is we've done it together.
Yeah. Mate, what I liked about Paul's fight last week as well, obviously, in the build-up to this, there's loads of other British super bantamweights who will get chirpy on social media. I mean, we've seen you have a back and forth in the past with people like Andrew Cairn and what have you. And listen, that's a great fight. I'm into it all day long. But what I liked about you in particular is that you immediately shot upwards straight away. Right, I'm British champion now. Jason Cunningham, he's got the European. He's fighting. It's just the timing of this is brilliant because he's fighting, is it next week, 2 weeks' time, against Zelani Tete?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just fantastic for to make that call out. Is that the next step, ideally, in your mind? Come on, while the momentum's going, while I'm on fire, let's get after the European as well.
100%. And he was there at the weigh-in before the fight. I looked him in his eyes and said to him, I win this tomorrow night and I'm on your tail. I'm coming for
you. Brilliant.
Love it.
That's nothing disrespectful, because he's the man with the belt, isn't he? So
exactly.
He's the man I want. And I believe I'm ahead of all these other guys, Dennis McCann, Andrew Kane. I've won the British title and I've surpassed these now. So I believe Frank should stick with me and push me on, get behind me. So hopefully we can make that fight happen and he wins his fight with Tete, or Tete wins, I'll have the winner.
Well,
Well,
that fight, it's live on TalkSport in 2 weeks, right? Are you going to be there? Are you going to be at the venue 2nd of July?
I'm going to make sure I go, yeah.
We'll have you on, right?
Yeah. And you can have the platform, mate. Like you said, this is your moment now, British champion. If you're pushing toward that European thing, make sure you're there that night and we'll definitely help that narrative along, because it's a fantastic fight. Jason comes through against Zolani Tete, and that's not easy, because Zolani's a hell of a bumming fighter, but if he comes through that...
He's about 60, though.
But if he comes through that, you and Jason Cunningham for the European title would be absolutely sensational.
Brilliant fight.
Yeah. And I'll have the British and European. Put the Commonwealth on the line.
Who's next? Yeah, watch out.
Commonwealth. I want the Commonwealth with it. He's got the Commonwealth, so put that one on the line too.
Mate, listen, what a performance. It was a great fight. And it's a great advertisement for the Lonsdale belt that last week. Like you said, you paid a good piece of respect there to Mark Leach. What good champion, good fight. Obviously, you had him down in that first round and he came back into it, but you held your own. It was just a fantastic, fantastic advertisement for British boxing. Congratulations, mate. Great, great performance. Onwards and upwards, and fingers crossed we can get that European fight next.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, and I look forward to seeing you in a few weeks' time, then I'll be there.
At the weekend just gone, in New York City, we saw a unification in the light heavyweight division between Artur Beterbiev and Joe Smith Jr. The winner gets Anthony Yard, who was ringside, and before the fight, we decided to catch up with him to get his take on the fight itself and the prospect of fighting one of these two monsters.
Lindenhoff arises, but the referee waves it over. He had a good look into the eyes of Lindenhoff there and decided he was in no fit state to continue. We were wondering, would this be repeat or would it be revenge? It has turned out to be revenge.
To be fair, it's just a tall and rangy fighter. So one of the highest knockout ratios, I think, is at 100% knockout ratio. So that says a lot for itself. And Joseph Jr., from what I've seen, he keeps getting better. You know, he's become world champion and he's taking on all challenges. So I feel like it will be a good fight. They both said that they're looking to enjoy a good fight. So when two fighters say that, it just looks like they're coming to entertain the fans, so it should be exciting.
Well, that's a style that you adopt as well, mate, that entertainment, explosive style. So how do you think you match up against either one of these guys?
Exactly. I think on my night, if I've got a good game plan, my mind's clear, and I go in there knowing exactly what I'm going to do, I feel like I'll beat anybody. Even with my living experience and things like that, it's just my mindset. I don't feel like any boxer goes into the ring. But any, you know, boxer that's climbing the ranks and wanting to win and wanting to become world champion goes with a mindset saying that he's going to lose. I feel like the ones that do think that, they always come up short. So regardless of what anyone says, I've always had that belief in myself, and I feel like that's where I've progressed to where I have. So it'll be the same mindset going into that fight where he wins.
When that does come around, and the rumour is October, we'll get to it, like I said, in a moment. That'll be obviously your second attempt at a world title. What did you learn from the first efforts? I know that the first efforts is a bit crazy because you had to go out to Russia to take on Kovalev. So what were the learns from that, and what do you take from that fight into this second world title effort, which will come later in the year?
What I've learned from it would be to approach the fight knowing my worth from the beginning. With that fight, it's like I was so desperate, you know, to be a world champion. I was just taking anything that was given to me. You know, after the weigh-in, I didn't have no clean water. I was there, actually, my bags got taken when I got to Russia, so I couldn't train for the first day. I tried to have a bath, the hot water wasn't working. Like, there were so much things that happened, which obviously there's tricks and things that they do. I feel like that's what I've learned from going into the fight. And then once the fight actually starts, I was seconds away, I was probably one punch away from beating Kovalev. And I'll take that confidence. I've always taken that confidence into any fight I've been in.
If Artur Beterbiev is successful in this fight with Joe Smith Jr., it does make it slightly easier with the promoter that he's with, the promoter that you're with, and we're being we're being informed that around October 22nd would be the timing back here in the UK for that world title shot. Is that right?
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. I haven't been given any confirmation as of yet. I heard the date of October as well.
Yeah.
And that we would won it here just for like the fun purposes and things like that. But for me, it's just like once it's confirmed, I'm just going to enjoy the fight, you know, as a fan.
Listen, man, make sure you're wearing a shirt, yeah? Because I keep an eye on your Instagram. I've seen that you've been out and about in Jamaica giving it the old pectoral dance and all that type of stuff. Don't be distracting anybody on the TV, yeah?
I'm planning to go there with absolutely no top on. I've already planned that out for already.
Listen, Anthony, if I look like you, mate, I would constantly walk without my top off, definitely, no doubt about that. Listen, on the division as a whole... recently, we've seen Bivol versus Canelo. What did you make of that performance?
Yeah, the Bivol versus Canelo fight, I think that was, you know, I think it planned out how I thought it was going to plan out. The thing with Canelo is, you know, he's got that the one punch knockout power, he's very experienced and skillful, but size always does play a part. That's what I thought was going to happen, to be honest. And, you know, Bivol pulled it off. I've always said that Bivol's fundamentally very, very, very good.
Yeah.
You know, for the basics very well. And for the fight.
What did you make of the Bouatsi-Richards fight?
I thought that was a very entertaining fight as well, to be honest. I know both guys. I was happy that both boys could, you know, headline a show in the O2. And they put on a good fight for the fans, which is excellent.
How do you think Josh matches up with Dimitri Bivol, mate? Because that's the rumour, isn't it, that he'll go down that route and you obviously go down this route?
To be honest, I actually don't know. Josh will be like, he's gonna roll right now, so you never know what could happen in that fight. I'll give him a chance.
Olympic gold medalist Lauren Price made her professional debut last weekend, came through six rounds unscathed, and is looking to be pushing on towards those world titles. We caught up with her on Saturday night to get her take on what it's like now being a pro.
Talk to Valgadier Gibson Dunne, who's lost in the distance with Lauren Price. Price wins easily every second of every round.
With Olympian medalists, and I think with amateurs that have achieved as much as Lauren, there's a huge investment that goes into them. I think for the Olympians, yeah, it comes down to where the Olympians want to fight, what platform do they want to be on, what's going to be best for their careers.
You listen to Fight Night on TalkSport. I'm Adam Catterall, Gareth A. Davies alongside me. Time for a moment of reflection, looking back at a fantastic debut in the professional ranks last week. Unsurprising, let's be straight, because of the accolades that this young lady has already collected, both in the amateur game, in other martial arts, in other sports. She is a sensation. Tip for big things, it is, of course, the one and only Miss Lauren Price, and she's very kindly given up a bit of time on her Saturday evening to come and join us. Lauren, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Just chilling out. I'm really good.
Well, last week, the professional debut is now in the bank, and I've no doubt, even though you've got Olympic medals around your neck, you've got world titles in the world of kickboxing, obviously you used to be a pro footballer as well, even though you've been there, done it and got the T-shirt, I'm sure there must have been some slight nerves, a little bit of apprehension. What was the reality like of the professional debut compared to the expectancy of it?
Oh yeah, 100%. I had nerves. There would have been something wrong if I didn't. And I think obviously it was the first pro debut. I didn't really know what to expect, even in like fight week and stuff like that. With obviously the press conference, that's all new to me. Public weigh-in, and yeah, even fight night. Obviously getting ready, getting your hands wrapped, the cameras coming in and out the changing room. So yeah, it was obviously all new. And but I thought I dealt with the pressure and dealt with it pretty good. And I enjoyed myself. I was probably more nervous for the ring walk, but once I got to the top of the ramp, I was just loving life. And I enjoyed my debut. I just wanted, you know, to just go out there and show my skills. And to be fair, she was a tough opponent.
Yeah.
I didn't want anyone, you know, I was just going to go in there and blow out in one round. I wanted someone, she had a decent record. I think she had won fives, lost two, something like that. So yeah, she was a pretty tough girl.
Well,
I just wanted to show my skills.
Well, always on that. I mean, Gareth have this conversation all the time about elite Olympians like yourself, elite amateurs. I don't want, with all due respect, taxi drivers or door girls or whatever for your first fight. There's no point because you've been around the world. You've done it. You've got the T-shirt. Let's have a proper test early doors. Let's get those tests in as quick as we possibly can. Because we want, and I know this is maybe getting ahead of ourselves, to be in the conversation fighting for titles within single figures of professional fights. And I'm sure that that's where your head's at as well.
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, I'm just going to take little step-ups each time. But obviously, being a female as well, they do move a lot quicker than the men. And obviously, with my amateur pedigree as well. So, yeah, I just wanted, you know, I spoke with Rob McCracken. He's obviously a great guy and my trust is in with him. And, yeah, we just decided, obviously, to go for that opponent. And, yeah, it was a great outcome in the end. And I enjoyed myself 100%. But, yeah, you're 100% on that. There's no point me going in there and just, you know, boxing someone who I'm just going to blow out.
One of the things, Lauren, is you could have, obviously, you won the Olympic gold at middleweight. I don't know whether that was, you didn't even have to make weight for that. Obviously, you're fighting at welterweight now as a pro, 147 pounds. You know, it's significantly lighter. Is that tactically because of the likes of Jessica McCaskill holding all the belts at the moment, or you want fights for people like Celia Breakers, opportunities, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I was getting excited about you facing Savannah Marshall and Clarissa Shields and, you know, moving between different weights. I mean, is that something, apart from moving up the levels, may you move up the weights as well? And look at what Tasha Jonas has done from light middle all the way to, what is it, feather or super feather. So yeah. Are you going to be able, you probably can't get down super feather. I say that with full respect, by the way, Lauren. I don't want to get a dig in the, I don't want to get a dig in the ribs the next time I see you. But you know, are you flexible about what weight divisions you can fight in?
Yeah, 100%. And obviously making welterweight, I made it pretty comfortable, to be fair. I actually weighed in, like I think it was 145 I actually weighed in at. But yeah, no, that was like fully hydration, everything. And yeah, as an amateur, obviously I give a lot of weight away. But that was because going back a few years ago, there was only three weights for women. And I was never going to make the 60-kilo category. So I had no other option than to box at 75. Obviously I went around, picked up experience, and then obviously before I knew it, I was ranked at that weight. I was winning world medals at that weight, and yeah, I just stayed at that weight. My style suited that, you know, with the three threes, being using my fast hands, my speed and my footwork. But yeah, obviously then coming into the pro ranks, I'm gonna be boxing over longer rounds, and it just makes sense for me to come down to my natural weight starting off. You know, you talk about obviously Jess McCaskill, and obviously, yeah, she's the one with all the belts. But
could you beat her now? In your head, if they threw you in fight two or three?
Well, yeah, but realistically, it's all new to me. I need to adapt. Just obviously being in there on the weekend, I didn't really take no punches, but just like simple things of head clashes and stuff like that, being the first time without no way, no head guard. It was just little adaptations like that, and obviously just getting used, you know, to the smaller gloves and more experience. And yeah, 100%. And yeah, who knows, obviously, like you talk about, obviously that's the dream, to become a multi-weight world champion, you know, and undisputed the lot. I want to follow in the footsteps of the likes of obviously Katie Taylor. She's a massive thing to women's boxing, and I believe obviously I can be the same. But yeah, I'm not gonna, you know, rush and sit and call anyone out and say I won this fight within like three fights, five fights or whatever. I literally, every time I box, I just want little step ups each time, and just keep on adding new things to my game. Working with Rob in the gym, you know, every week, about throwing a lot more combinations, being a bit more busier than obviously when I boxed as an amateur, because I had no option to be in and out on my feet because the girls were about 6 foot. But now I'm fighting at my natural weight, obviously I can stay there a little bit more. And I thought I showed that on the weekend as well, with obviously my head movement rolling out a couple of times, and I'm only going to get better and better each fight. So yeah, 100%, I'm just, you know, taking little step ups each time.
On weight and this journey that you're on, I suppose it does make it an awful lot easier with your partner Kerry Saltonstall as well, on this journey as well. I've spoken to many fighters down the years where maybe the partner's getting on with normal life, the kids are getting on with normal life, and they've obviously going through camp, they've got to think about diet and all this type of stuff. You two can obviously inspire each other, look after each other during the journey. I'm sure it's a thoroughly enjoyable one at the moment with Carissa as well out, I think, in, is it 10 days in that time now? 2 weeks' time? Out in Coventry?
Yeah. 7 days' time, yeah. She boxes next weekend. But yeah, 100%. She's obviously my best friend, my partner. And yeah, we've been on some journey so far. But obviously to have her in camp with me each week and training beside me, it is kind of special, you know, to have that home comfort. Boxing is a lonely sport. And we just help one another. Obviously, she's a better runner than me, so she pushes me along in the runs. And I'm a bit stronger than her in the gym, so I'm you know, in S&C and stuff like that. But, yeah, we've sparred each other. We've done a couple of rounds, actually, leading up to my fight.
Hope that's not at home, by the way.
Yes.
That's only in the...
Professionally. No. Come on.
yeah, in the ring this time. In lockdown, we had no choice. We were in the living room. But
fighting over the controls, yeah. TV control. Yeah. Well, on that...
No, she's exceptional, and I think, obviously, the pro style is going to suit her 100%.
Yeah.
For her weight as well. She can dig a little bit, so she's definitely... She's exciting, and people are going to want to watch her, and I honestly think she's going to go all the way.
Adam mentioned there your in the first question about your other careers, if you like, in football and other martial arts. We're seeing more women from boxing trialing mixed martial arts. Amanda Serrano, Holly Holm,
Clarissa.
Notably Clarissa recently.
Mm.
You must have had a look, and I'm not trying to throw it too forward, but, you know, if you delve into yourself and you're looking at that, Lauren, is that a possibility down the line as well? I mean, Clarissa's saying she's going to try and become a two-sport world champion at the same time. Obviously, you've got a background in another art with your feet, and you know about different movement. Have you ever done any groundwork, wrestling? Obviously, you were over the TV remote control over the lockdown, but do you envisage that? Is that something that may tempt you at some point?
Who knows? But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I have done a little bit. Obviously, kickboxing back in the day, a kickboxer, a club called Devil's Martial Arts, and I've done a bit of ground and pound as well. But at the minute, I'm just starting off, obviously, on my boxing career. I've got a great contract, you know, with Boxer and Sky Sports. So at the minute, I just plan on, you know, focusing on that and you know, winning world titles in boxing. And yeah, who knows, further on down the line, like you said, different doors and different opportunities.
Mm.
You know, come along, but for now, yeah, I'm just gonna concentrate on the boxing.
Superb. Well, thank you very much for giving up a bit of time on a Saturday evening to come and talk to us.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on last week, and we're looking forward to seeing you out again. Are you already talking about dates when we're next out?
Yeah, so I'm hoping to get on Savannah and Clarissa undercard. I think
brilliant. It's the right answer.
Yeah,
well done.
Exactly. And so, can you reveal the date and the place? I think it's London, September the 10th, isn't it?
I don't know the place, but I think maybe September the 10th. I think that's what they're looking at.
Super.
So,
yeah,
100%. I'd love to get on that.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You will have seen recently a fantastic display from Neuer Inoue in the super bantamweight division as he destroyed his old adversary, Nanita Dener. He is now the unified super bantamweight champion. Only one belt eludes him, and that belt is held by British fighter Paul Butler. The baby-faced assassin himself, Paul Butler, joined Gareth on the show this week to discuss the prospect of making that super fight.
I think in the way he's seen everything out there before, do you know what I mean? I think he's faced every type of opponent they could possibly face. But, yeah, a lot of people don't really know that I'm a left-handed orthodox. I've always liked the left up to the body, a left up to the head. And I think that favours me quite a lot, especially when I'm boxing an orthodox fighter. A lot of people don't really expect it. I do everything left-handed. I'll write left-handed. I play golf left-handed. I just went into the gym age 10 and I stayed orthodox.
You just naturally stand that way?
Yeah, I just felt a little bit more comfortable going that way. And yeah, it just stuck. Every time I do something wrong, me amateur coach, Peter, who does me a corner with me now as well, he hands up to Joe. He always used to say, if you can't get it right, I'll just turn you back the other way.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, no, I'll practice. And I used to make sure he used to get it right.
There's lots of noise, obviously, around you and Neuer Inoue fighting this year. You'll have watched the fight on Tuesday with Nonito Donaire. Nonito, don't know how he's kept it going, 39 years old. Father Time seemed to have caught him a couple of times before. What did you make of the fight and how realistic? Because there's always a lot of noise out there online and, you know, journalists writing about it. And what did you make of the fight and how realistic is it to get that unification, that undisputed fight by the end of the year? He has three of the belts, you've got the WBO. Are talks ongoing? Is it in the makings?
Well, first of all, I thought he was very good. I thought he was destructive. I think he nailed Nonito at the end of the first. And the finisher that he is, he jumped all over him going into the second round. He didn't give him a second chance. He might have had thoughts in the back of his head about the first fight. He thought, I'll just get rid of him now. Because I think he did, well, most of the round, the first round, he respected Donaire quite a lot. He was moving his feet. He was just jabbing. I think Donaire pushes him back and maybe got a little bit greedy in the first round and got caught with that backhand. And then from then it's one-way traffic. I'm not sure where talks are or if talks are deep or anything like that. I haven't really spoke about it, but it's a fight I want. My team know I want it. So that's down to my team to go out there and get that fight for me. Of where it could happen anywhere. Do you know what I mean? He wants all four belts. Why can't it happen in Liverpool? Do you know what I mean? It could happen in Liverpool. It could happen in London. It could happen. We could go to Japan. I don't mind going to Japan, but why can't he come here as well? If he wants to unify, be undisputed that bad, surely he can come to England.
How do you see the fight?
Do you know what? I've never really looked at him as an opponent. I've always looked at him as a fan. I even watched the other day as a fan.
Yeah.
I was nervous watching it, hoping he'd win because I knew potentially we could get it on. But I've never actually sat down and watched him to try and find weaknesses. Obviously, we all know there's hardly any weaknesses there. But listen, nothing's impossible nowadays. We've all seen it before. Everyone wrote Jack Catter off against Josh Taylor. Yeah. And look what happened. I know Josh Taylor got the decision, but look what happened. So anything can happen in boxing. And it's a fight that I'd go into and I'd be confident of winning as well. I wouldn't go in there thinking, right, this is my last fight. Let's just take the money and let's go. I've trained since I was a 10-year-old boy. And I've walked into every single fight believing I can win. All right, I've been beating a couple against very good opposition. But the Rodriguez fight, I had 4 weeks' notice. I failed weight. It's not like me to fail weight, especially if I've got a 10-week camp. With Rodriguez, I failed weight. Zolani Tete was too good for me on the night. But like I say, it'll be a fight that I definitely go into with a game plan and a fight I believe I'll win.
The other thing, Paul, is that, and this is really worth remembering, you're 33 now, you've been at world level. You know, people, the Stuart Hall fights, was that 9 years ago? You're very...
8 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a decade against top-level fighters. It's not like, here's a Brit who's got an opportunity against a guy called the Monster who's rated in the pound-for-pound rankings. You've been there, seen it, done it, fallen, climbed again. Do you know what I mean? You've seen everything, really, haven't you? So it's not like this is a stretch for you. It's part of your legacy now, isn't it? It's part of your legacy to have these fights, you know?
100%. Like, since the Rodriguez fight, I've done everything the hard way. I've gone back to the smaller shows. No one really wanted to know me. No one wants to put me on their shows. I couldn't get no work off Eddie, even though we'd done like a 5-fight deal. So I went back to the smaller shows. I worked my way straight back up. I then had a fight. I was meant to box with Becco. I ended up boxing Garcia, who was a late standing but a very good fighter. Beat him, become mandatory challenger for Casamayor. Everyone knew what happened there. And then we went out there, we beat Sultan in great fashion. I believe at the age of 33, it was my best career performance. And everyone thinks age, he's 33, he's over the hill, he's on the slide. But I've just proven that age is just a number. I smash all my records in the gym. If we're on the track, I'll beat them. If we're swimming, I'll beat them. Each camp, I'm constantly getting better. And I've always said, the day I believe I'm not good enough to challenge for them titles is the day I walk away. And at the moment, I believe I'm getting better and better.
Well, there is that thing that if people listening or watching aren't aware of it, there's always a thematically lighter weight boxers are peaking in their late 20s and generally shouldn't, by defined physicality, go on beyond 35 at the very top level. Because it's such a stretch on the body, isn't it? You know, the fights at your weight are fought so fast. The skill sets are very high. There's not so many knockouts. It's a very enduring sport, a very kind of taxing sport at the level you're at the weight you're at. So people don't go on to 40. They don't go on to late 30s generally. Yeah. So you probably have got two of your best years left, probably.
Probably, yeah. But
you'd like to go on for longer and defy the odds, yeah.
most definitely. But when COVID came around, I was 31 and I was thinking, how long is this going to last for? And it ended up lasting nearly 2 years. Yeah. All right, I got one in between that. But you're sitting there and you're thinking, could this be the end of me? Wonder how long is this going to last? Mm. But I stayed in the gym, I plugged away, and I got the rewards. And I'm sat here now as a world champion and possibly in the best form of my life as well.
Final thing, I'm looking back on articles we've done together in The Telegraph, going back a few years. I think 6-7 years ago, it might have been before that, I think when you were about 26 anyway, you were still playing football on a Saturday, I think. Are you still playing football, or has that fallen by the wayside now?
You know what? I've stopped, and I've stopped for one reason, and one reason only. I was playing Saturday and Sunday. I'd go in the gym, and I'd be sparring on a Monday, and my legs would be knackered, and Joe would go, what's up with you? And I'd say, my legs are shot to bits, and he'd say, why? I'd say, well, I played football Saturday, Sunday. No wonder your legs are shot to bits. I've been playing on a muddy field, dead heavy legs on a Monday. So I stopped for that reason because it was affecting me in the gym. I wouldn't recover properly till the Wednesday. So I stopped. I now manage a football team on a Saturday. Yeah, we're called Sutton Athletic. We're in the West Cheshire 2 division. We've just been promoted. We won the league last year. So we're the league and the cup. So we're a good side, and we're on the up.
To finish the show, let's have a little bit of a dip into the world of mixed martial arts. This week coming, Brendan Lochnane is back in action. The PFL, the destination. The prize, $1 million. Can he win the whole tournament and become a world champion? Well, Gareth caught up with him in Manchester this week.
One thing about the Manx, mate, we stick together. Me, Tyson, Anthony Crawler, Stephen Alson. I mean, you know, we're all one. Rashford, Lingard, just real Manx. And I think with the support of all these kind of people that everyone knows, everyone will get together towards the semis. There's Boston Salmon's first on the list, very dangerous opponent, definitely not overlooking him, trained hard. I cannot give one more ounce of sweat and tears to this training camp, mate. I really can't. Not took him lightly. I've got to get past him first before we get to London, and once we do, it's game on.
Does it also help you that people want you now to get the recognition that you've deserved for a very long time? You've been in and out of the UFC and tough, and you know, you've had a great time with the PFL for 4 years nearly now, isn't it? And you're starting to get the recognition that you truly deserve. And I mean starting to get it. And you know, it must be rewarding in some ways. Not that you do it for the recognition, but it just must be a reward in another compartment of yourself.
Gareth, this is my 35th MMA fight. You know, I've been on the scene forever. Someone tagged me in something yesterday that if them decisions should have went my way, which a lot of them should have, you'd be looking at a 25-1 professional Mancunian MMA champion. And just because a few of them didn't go my way, you know, I don't get that recognition. But now I think people are actually looking down the record and going, hang on a minute, we've got a superstar on our hands here. And you have. And I know that last time I went in with a few issues that we know about, and now I'm 100% healthy, Brendan, and I can't wait.
I know you well enough to know, of course, you're a prize fighter now. You're a very mature fighter. You're in your early 30s. You need to be rewarded and paid. You have dreams and aspirations. I visited you in your 25th floor apartment in the centre of Manchester. You spoke to me about the life you want to do. You're not done by a long way yet. You have great ambition in you. How transformative would it be for your life to get that $1 million check?
I think it's more the belt, mate. Honestly, yeah. Like, obviously it's both, but I think, wow, that piece of gold there that I've strived towards for a 14, 15-year journey, mate. Like, imagine what it's going to feel like when they wrap it around your waist. It's a totally different feeling. Money comes and goes. You could be a millionaire tomorrow and lose it the next day, but you can't take a belt away, can you? You know what I mean? So, I don't know. We'll see on the night, but yeah, it's definitely something that I've dreamt about a few times, if you should say.
What would it mean to you to be able to project to lots of other young men and women, maybe teenagers from your area, who you look at Ricky and you say, I can do what Ricky did. Do you like the fact that maybe youngsters now are looking at you and will hear about you and will be projected, will see the projection of your life and will say, I can do that now. I can do that. I can change my life. I'm going to do that as well. Because when I spoke to Ben Walker, who found you and took you to a gym, he said he's still finding youngsters who are going to come through, who he wants you to lead, who you'll inspire.
Maurice Corr actually put it a very cool way. He said the Champs Camp was a beacon of light when there was not a lot of hope. And when he said that, I'd never heard him say that before. And I thought, wow, that hit home a bit. Like it was up on the top floor and the light would always be on. And that symbolises, that is the light of the area. That is the way out. If you like, you know, if you can play football, if you can fight, if you can dance, they're usually the only ways out, mate. So for me, if I can go back now with this belt, and you know what, I can do it without the belt, but the belt just symbolises a lot more, really. You know, it gives a bit of a clarity as to what I've done and a bit more conviction behind it. But I mean, I'm already doing it now, but that will be the icing on the cake, and especially to do it all on Channel 4 where the whole world can watch it unfold. That's the main bit, you know. People can actually see it with their own eyes instead of envisioning it. They can see it, you know, every Friday, every couple of weeks. You watch Brendan on Channel 4 having a fight. I'm like, of course I can do that. I know that kid. He lives down the road. You know what it feels like? It's a bit weird because it's like I need this belt to solidify my career, but really I don't. I've done so much already. Going back to the first Mancunian to ever fight in the UFC, going back to, you know, going on the Ultimate Fighter at 20 years old, going back to fighting at Madison Square Garden, the first man to do that in the mixed martial arts competition, going back to headlining the Manchester Arena for boxing and for mixed martial arts. I've done loads, mate, but I just feel like this is right there now. And I just feel like this is the one thing that everyone will turn around and go, hang on a minute, but he did this. So for me, that's how important it is, mate. And trust me, I'll find a very special place for that belt. Don't you worry about that.
So I have to ask you, so you're saying that Michael Bisping is not a Mancunian then, who fought in the UFC, even though they called him from Manchester?
Yeah, I'll give it, Mike. Because all right, Mike, you can have the title because I don't want him ringing me up. As you know, Gareth, he can be a bit touchy about things like this.
When he was a guest of ours a couple of weeks ago, we kind of explained to people listening that maybe aren't up on the PFL what it is. I absolutely love this format. Like I said, I was watching it last night, the lightweights. I think it's absolutely fantastic for fans because it's so easy to understand. It's very football-esque, if I may, because you get a win, you get 3 points. You get a win with a knockout, you get 6 points. And therefore, at the end of your series of games, or fights in this instance, you will then be ranked in a table in a leaderboard, and the top four then go through to a knockout stage. i.e. the playoffs in the championship, for example. And I think it's so easy to understand. Obviously, at the end of that, if you do win the playoffs, you get yourself a nice check for $1 million or $1 million, and obviously a nice, beautiful belt, sexy trophy, as Kayla Harrison has experienced on a couple of occasions in the PFL. And Brendan has that opportunity. He had an opportunity last year and he just fell short. He came up against the tournament favourite in the semi-final and just fell short there after a couple of fantastic performances throughout the course of the run. And this time round, when I speak to Brendan and when listening to you speak to him a moment or two ago, you kind of get this feeling that he knows that this is the moment now. He seems at peace with that, and he's obviously, there's nobody more dedicated than him. He travels around the world for his training camps and what have you. But he seems to have had a real realisation that this is his moment in time. And to be fair to him, he made a real brave decision earlier this year because he was offered contracts with the UFC, and people will class that as the glamour in mixed martial arts, but he turned it down because of the opportunities that lies in front of him with the PFL.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, what a great story that he pays his mum's mortgage off with his first paycheck from the PFL, you know, and having met Agnes, his mum, very strong woman, I could see where he gets it from. He's on the cusp. It really reminds me, as you say, it's a massive opportunity, but it really reminds me right now, he totally believes and he needs that explosive moment with the British public. This reminds me of December or November 2008 when Karl Froch fought Jean Pascal. There's a big audience for it on ITV. He won the WBC super middleweight title that night. In fact, it was Tyson Fury's debut that night as a professional fighter. And Karl put his arms in the air and said, "I'm a superstar now." And Brendan's ready to be a superstar. He's got all the personality, the maturity. He's got all the fighting skills. He's definitely from the right place and hungry. I've been there now. I've seen it. You know when you go sometimes, Ed, and you see someone in their environment and you see the people they've been around? He just needs that explosive moment. And I was looking at Carl's record. And afterwards, after that John Pascal fight, he had 13 or 12 world title fights. Mm-hmm. But weirdly, it wasn't until he fought George Groves in that controversial fight in Manchester, and then they fought at Wembley, 80,000 people, as we always have to repeat. Cole's got it out there as a mantra, that he crossed over massively into the mainstream, and all the people that we love and respect as in what we do in MMA just need that moment with the British public for me. And then I think he's capable of that. He's so likeable, handsome, articulate, gritty. He's really similar to Ricky Hatton in his way as well. Mm-hmm. As I say, when they got together, as he talks about there's just a chemistry between them because they got an understanding. Manx get on and the Manx fans get on. And I think, you know, if he can harness the support of the football clubs or the music industry from Manchester, you know how people like Noel Gallagher and Wayne Rooney and all these guys supported Ricky's career. He's friends with Tyson Fury. Yeah. He's friends with Anthony Crawler. Yeah, he's friends with all these guys who are in and around that kind of Lancashire.
Got a lot of footballer friends as well.
Yeah, a lot of football
Jesse
friends.
Lingard's
exactly.
His mate.
Exactly, all like these guys. So, and they really respect him.
There you have it. Told you it was action-packed. If that is your bag and you like all that type of conversation, make sure you subscribe to us and then you'll never miss out on any of our Fight Night content. This week, we are coming to you live from Coventry, bringing you some exclusive fights courtesy of Boxer. And the week after, we are back with the Queensbury guys, July the 2nd, as Joe Joyce takes on Christian Hammer. And as we mentioned a little earlier on in the show, Jason Cunningham will be taking on Zelani Tetti. Those fights will be live on TalkSport. Lots to get excited about, so I'll catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.